"Wand carriers?" repeated Harry. The phrase fell oddly upon his ears as his scar prickled, as Voldemort turned his thoughts northward, and as Harry burned to question Ollivander next door.
"The right to carry a wand," said the goblin quietly, "has long been contested between wizards and goblins."
"Well, goblins can do magic without wands," said Ron.
"That is immaterial. Wizards refuse to share the secrets of wand lore with other magical beings. They deny us the possibility of extending our powers."
"Well, goblins won't share any of their magic either," said Ron. "You won't tell us how to make swords and armour the way you do. Goblins know how to work metal in a way wizards have never." "It doesn't matter," said Harry, noting Griphook's rising colour. "This isn't about wizards versus goblins or any other sort of magical creature." Griphook gave a nasty laugh.
"But it is. It is about precisely that. As the Dark Lord becomes ever more powerful, your race is set still more firmly above mine. Gringotts falls under wizarding rule, house elves are slaughtered, and who amongst the wand carriers protests?"
"We do," said Hermione. She had sat up straight, her eyes bright. "We protest. And I'm hunted quite as much as any goblin or elf, Griphook. I'm a mudblood." "Don't call yourself," Ron muttered. "Why shouldn't I?" said Hermione. "Mudblood, and proud of it. I've got no higher position under this new order than you have, Griphook. It was me they chose to torture back at the Malfoys." As she spoke, she pulled aside the neck of the dressing gown to reveal the thin cut Bellatrix had made, scarlet against her throat. "Did you know that it was Harry who set Dobby free?" she asked. "Did you know that we've wanted elves to be freed for years?" Ron fidgeted uncomfortably on the arm of Hermione's chair. "You can't want you-know-who defeated more than we do, Griphook." The goblin gazed at Hermione with the same curiosity he had shown Harry.
"What do you seek within the Lestrange's vault?" he asked abruptly. "The sword that lies inside it is a fake. This is the real one."
He looked from one to the other of them.
"I think that you already know this. You asked me to lie for you back there."
"But the fake sword isn't the only thing in that vault, is it?" asked Harry. "Perhaps you've seen the other things in there." His heart was pounding harder than ever. He redoubled his efforts to ignore the pulsing of his scar. The goblin twisted his beard around his finger again.
"It is against our code to speak of the secrets of Gringotts. We are the guardians of fabulous treasures. We have a duty to the objects placed in our care, which were so often wrought by our fingers."
The goblin stroked the sword, and his black eyes roved from Harry to Hermione to Ron, and then back again.
"So young,"
he said finally,
"to be fighting so many."
"Will you help us?" said Harry. "We haven't got a hope of breaking in without a goblin's help. You're our one chance."
"I shall think about it,"
said Griphook maddeningly.
"But—"
Ron started angrily. Hermione nudged him in the ribs. "Thank you," said Harry.